What's going on, everybody? It's Johnny Lazarus, the host of the Blue Crew. Gonna do a little instant reaction, post-game thoughts from Patrick Kane's debut as a Ranger on Thursday night against the Ottawa Senators. I just got home from the game. I did make a little pit stop at the local halal truck down the block from my apartment. Ate a little lamb over rice, so I might have to poop in my pants in the middle of doing this. So take that with a grain of salt or whatever the saying is. And, you know, I may have had, four high noons and a couple beers out of the MSG sippy cups, which I love so much. I think every sports stadium should have the sippy cup for the beer, because the amount of sporting events I've been to where I spill my beer and waste half of it. If I do sound a little off track or off beat in this episode or bonus episode, whatever you want to call it, I'm going to put the excuses on the alcohol. But, you know, I went to the game tonight as a fan, wanted to take in Patrick Kane and all that, and his first game as a Ranger. And before I do get into the Kane stuff, I think it wouldn't be justified if I didn't talk about the Stephen A. comments on ESPN, which I tweeted before. And I'll play the clip right now from First Take a little bit earlier today.
Which team in New York do you think wins a championship next?
Rangers. Oh, Lord.
Come on, Patrick Kane is able.
They don't count. Take
they don't
out.
Count.
They don't count.
The only thing I know about hockey is that the puck is black.
Okay.
And I love Gary Bettman. That's my buddy
I owe a trip to Stephen the hockey a. game.
Right.
It is no disrespect to the Rangers and to Patrick Kane, of course, but just for Stephen
Football,
A.
basketball, baseball.
Yeah.
Well, I'm actually a huge fan of Molly, Stephen A., and Michael Kay. I listen to all three of them, and I'm a guy who listens to First Take almost every morning because I'm a big basketball fan, and I try to keep up with football and the MLB, but, you know, I've always been hoping that when the NHL goes to ESPN, that Stephen A. and Max Kellerman and all these personalities on ESPN would somewhat embrace hockey. And I know that Stephen A. did post an apology later, which I will play in a second. But before the apology, I mean, I watched that clip and I was just pissed off. Like, what are we doing here? You're on ESPN, the channel that almost every kid wakes up to and turns on just to catch up on sports and anything they missed from the night before, or just to catch highlights. And, you know, you have arguably the biggest personality in sports media bashing hockey. And that's, you know, obviously something that's a little unwarranted. Like, you ask an honest question to Michael Kay, someone who's very ingrained in New York sports, and he answers the Rangers. And you're basically saying the Rangers don't count in, you know, what is considered one of the four major sports, right? Like, a lot of people have said, and Max Kellerman's guilty of this also, that UFC has surpassed NHL as far as popular top four sports go in America. And, you know, I think that's bullshit because UFC isn't necessarily a team sport. But for me, like all I want to do in my career is make hockey as cool and popular as it can be, because, you know, knowing a lot of these players personally, they are cream of the crop athletes, and they deserve, you know, all that popularity and all the recognition that they aren't necessarily getting across the world. Like, hockey to me, and obviously this is biased, but, you know, it's one of the coolest sports in the world, right? Like, you know, if you look at the other three sports, MLB, NFL, NBA, if a player ever like motherfucks a ref or like trips a referee, they're thrown out of the game. Like, hockey players, like, that's one thing that's really cool too. Like, you can show emotion and you can have passion and really just like be yourself on the rink and show, you know, if you're pissed off, you can say something to the referee. Like, the amount of times players have, you know, motherfucked refs, and it's just like, you know, a slap on the wrist or whatever. Like, referees don't take it personally. It's part of the game. And, you know, I try to watch the NBA or NFL, and I don't really watch a lot of MLB, but I know that, like, if a manager like curses at an ump, they're thrown out of the game. If an NFL player argues a call, there's a flag. And if the NBA like fucking breathes, they're teed up with a technical. So, like, you know, that's something that I think separates the NHL too, is just being able to show that passion. And this is obviously something that's not necessarily talked about a lot. And I am getting a little off track from the Kane stuff, but the Stephen A. comment really just kind of pissed me off as someone who, you know, really just loves hockey and wants to see the game grow, you know, especially on a channel like ESPN. Earlier this week, I actually tweeted, like, ESPN needs to have a morning hockey show. Like, I want to wake up and not watch reruns of NHL Network. I want to hear live opinions of what's happening. Like, you know, the Jonathan Quick trade goes down at midnight on Wednesday night or Thursday night, whichever night it was. And you have to wait 12 hours to get a reaction, you know, on a TV show or whatever. So, you know, that's something I want to see. And I'm sorry if I'm ranting here, but these are just like my true emotions and what I feel like day to day, you know, working in hockey media. You know, I also should have mentioned that Cody isn't here tonight. It's just me doing this fan mail episode. You know, I thought it'd be cool to kind of just take the time after this game, being at MSG all night, to answer how everyone's feeling after Patty Kane's debut. And before I do go into Patty Kane, I'm going to play the apology from Stephen A, because he does kind of say, you know, he's trying to make good TV, which I get. Stephen A, you know, sometimes plays into the role of what he is. And, you know, he's an emotional guy, but he also knows how to push the right buttons with sports fans. So if he didn't mean the comments that he made earlier, whatever, but like kind of unnecessary. You know, don't bash on the NHL when ESPN is trying to grow it.
Go Rangers! Go Rangers! Not go New York, go New York, go with the Knicks. I'm talking about the Rangers. I know you got something going on with Patrick Kane tonight, okay? Will you calm down? I was having a good time, having fun. Gary Bettman is my friend, okay? Relax, y'all. Relax. I understand the Rangers are all that. But they got a championship since 1994. It's them damn Knicks that haven't won since 1973. I'm sure you can understand why I'm aching a little bit more for the Knicks than the Rangers, okay? Mark Messier erased that 40-year-old curse, all right? For 50 years. Bottom line is this. The Rangers have a championship more recently than my New York Knicks. But I root for all things New York, and that includes the Rangers. So guess what, Rangers fans? Calm down, and let's do that hockey. Let's do that hockey.
You know, hockey needs all the popularity and all the attention it can get. So that's just the one thing that really pissed me off. And I'm sure it pissed off a lot of other people. But now I'll get into the Kane stuff. And, you know, for me, I think it's felt a little surreal the past week, because I know I speak for a lot of people that played hockey growing up. And listen, I know there's people out there that don't like Patrick Kane the person. He's made some mistakes in his career. But, you know, Patrick Kane the player, for me, growing up as a naive kid. And I don't think Patrick Kane's a bad person at all. You know, he's made some mistakes. We all do. We're human, but it's part of growing up and part of maturing. But for me, growing up playing NHL on Xbox, watching NHL every night, I wanted to be Patrick Kane. And I think most people did. I actually, you know, the jerseys behind me say 23 and whatnot, but I wore 88 growing up until I was in 11th grade, actually, when 88 was taken on the Metro Moose, the team that I played for. And I had to move to like 66. I always loved the double numbers. And then I got to college and none of the double numbers were available. But growing up, I wore 88 because I watched the Chicago Blackhawks. And the one guy that stood out every shift, whether it was, you know, making a flashy play, a flashy pass, dangling somebody, going backhand top shelf, the celly, like everything that Patrick Kane did, you know, just drew so much attention and made you love hockey. Like it really was showtime, you know, like he put on a show every single night. And I think back to first real memory I have of Patrick Kane. It was a goal he had against the Red Wings in the 2009 conference final when the Blackhawks lost that series in 5 games. But Patrick Kane came down the right side on his backhand and went absolute shelf, short side backhand on Chris Osgood and sellied like from the goal line to the blue line. And I was like, I was 13 years old and I was like, this guy is so fucking cool. Like that was just sick. And you know, every day in practice, the week or two later, you know, all my teammates, when we come down on our backhand, we were trying to go short side self. And if we scored, we'd do that celly. Like, that's just what it was. And that's what a lot of players or a lot of kids even do today. You know, what they see on TV, on YouTube, is what they're doing the next day in practice. Like when Trevor Zegras and Sonny Milano teed up for that goal, you know, there was that viral video of so many kids in practice the next day trying to flip the puck over the net and knock it out of midair. Like, that's just, you know, what we wanted to be. That's what was cool. That's what was fun. That's what made NHL so incredible to watch. So for me, it turned back the clock a lot, just walking into warmup and seeing Kane take the ice in that red, white, and blue uniform and seeing the 88, you know, like something about that number 88 is just so clean. It's so filthy and so cool and just carries so much swagger. Like you think about the 88s in the league, you know, Brent Burns in San Jose, you know, one of the cooler guys in the NHL, David Pastrnak in Boston, Willie Nylander in Toronto, you know, Martin Natchez now in Carolina. But there's so many, and I'm probably blanking on other ones, but there's so many cool players that wear 88. Nate Schmidt in Winnipeg. You know, I'm just trying to think of all the 88s that there are in the league right now. But that number is so clean. And honestly, like, I felt like a 16-year-old kid again tonight at the Garden for the first time in a long time. Because now that I'm turning 27 this month, you know, I root for this team and these kids, but it's hard to necessarily root for people that are younger than me. You know, as someone who played hockey, it's just weird. So to turn back the clock a little bit and root for someone that I love so much as a kid was just so refreshing. Every time Patty Kane touched the puck, not only me, but every Ranger fan was on the edge of their seat. And it's actually funny. I tweeted at the 12-minute mark of the first period, Patty Kane had the puck in the slot, and I think dished it to Panarin or was looking for Panarin. And everyone in the garden was screaming, shoot the fucking puck at Patty Kane. So it took him 8 minutes to get yelled at by the fans, which was really funny. You know, but I've rambled on here, and you know, I just wanted to say how cool it is and special it is for me as someone who's been in love with hockey since I was 5 years old to really just see, you know, a childhood hero play on a team that I root for. You know, I loved Carmelo Anthony, but when he came, I was like 14 or 15, so I couldn't really appreciate it as much as a Nick. And, you know, being a Ranger fan my whole life, like just having a guy that I've admired my entire life and always wanted to be and always wanted to play like come play for my favorite team has been truly incredible. So I'm going to go into the questions now. I'm going to look at Instagram first because I tweeted it and posted it on Instagram. So there's a pretty good amount of reaction and questions. So let's start with, this is actually kind of funny. Sirico19, Johnny is the man. Cody sucks eggs. LGR. Love that. Cody's not here, so I'm happy to say that. Hopefully he's listening, and shout out Cody because I love you. And I know it's a little bit past your bedtime, but we'll talk tomorrow. We got a good episode coming next week. This one from You've Been Bexed, not about Kane, but 19 giveaways in this game. What are your thoughts? So that's something I noticed too. It seemed like, and listen, this is, you know, four high noons, three beers. This is the eye test. I haven't read a single stat. This is what I'm going off. You know, I thought the Rangers were forcing a lot tonight. And I think a lot of that has to do with just the presence of Patrick Kane whenever he was on the ice. Like, you know, it was clear Panarin wanted to set him up and give him, you know, the show that everyone came out to see. I thought the defense was really sloppy. Mikko Nikola did not have his best game. I thought Trouba was pretty solid. Foxy actually had more turnovers than I'm used to seeing. You know, I thought he forced some stuff up the middle every now and then. But I think right now the defensive area in the D zone, you know, just breaking pucks out, it's not necessarily so clean. I don't know what that is. I don't know what the issue is, but it seems like whenever the defensemen get the puck, aside from Keandre Miller, they're not necessarily moving their feet. They're just looking for the pass. And sometimes it works out when they're a little extra patient and they're able to create that space. But other times, you know, you're not necessarily making an instinct play. You're thinking too much. And that's what I thought a lot that happened tonight was the Rangers defensemen especially were just thinking of making that pass, the simple pass. And instead of just doing it, they were thinking too much. You know, it's not very typical. We see the Rangers have so many giveaways, obviously. You know, they have a ton of skill and they're trying to make plays, which I love because I hate teams that just dump the puck and go chase it. You know, I'm very appreciative of this team that likes to hang on to it for an extra second and look for the extra pass and make that pretty play. But that's not what's going to cut it come playoff time. You know, they're going to have to make those simple plays and they're going to have to figure it out and just be more crisp. So I definitely did notice a lot of the turnovers tonight. You know, but I think that's something that'll get cleaned up as we go here. Sammy Hockey 96, are the Sens a dark horse to make the playoffs? I said this in the beginning of the year. And Ottawa's been one of the hotter teams in the league as of late. This is actually their fourth win in a row. So they're not a team to sleep on. They add Jacob Chychrun. You know, they clearly have earned a right to go for the playoffs. You know, that's what management's kind of been saying. But, you know, this Ottawa team in the last 10 games is 7-2-1. They're currently 4 points out of the second wildcard spot behind the Islanders with three games in hand. So Ottawa's definitely in the running. I wouldn't say they're necessarily a dark horse because they're right in the fight. I mean, everyone pretty much is in the fight. From Pittsburgh all the way down to Washington, only five, or actually Detroit, only 6 points separate those seven teams, which is pretty incredible. So by no means are the Senators a dark horse. They've been looking really good lately. I think Tim Stutzel is fucking amazing. Brady Tkachuk's obviously a killer and has that dog instinct in him. You know, Shane Pinto's been a guy that's contributed great secondary scoring. Claude Giroux looks very good as well. On the back end, Thomas Chabot's been not his best, but pretty decent. And they add Chychrun to make that team a little deeper. So, you know, I think Ottawa is definitely a team to consider when it comes to making the playoffs. The next one from Adam_Monty, who actually saw the game tonight. Shout out, Adam. Why do we suck less? And this is what I love about Ranger fans because, you know, we were all going to the Garden tonight expecting for the roof to blow off. And it's not necessarily the strongest performance from the team. I wouldn't say they sucked, but I wouldn't say they were good. You know, this team has been a little inconsistent as of late. I don't really know how to answer this one because we don't suck, but I do love the true Ranger fan in that question from Adam. Another one from Sammy Hockey. Will Kane take time to adjust to New York? You know, he said this a lot in his press conference. Like, him and Panarin obviously have a lot of chemistry going back, but they haven't played together in 7 years, and that's a pretty long time. My mom's texting me, are you home? She's a concerned mother. I'm going to answer her quick. Yes. But yeah, like, listen, you know, Tarasenko, it's taken some time. Kane's going to take some time. That's just how it is. Like, I don't think anyone necessarily comes in and clicks right away. Obviously, you know, you could say Bo Horvat had a goal or two in his first couple games with the Islanders, but he slowed down a bit. Ryan O'Reilly scores a hat trick early on in his time with the Maple Leafs. But, you know, sometimes it's just it takes a little extra to click. I'm sure for Kane, it was a little surreal. He even said in the press conference, like, this is the most nervous he's been for, you know, a regular season game in a long time. And I'm just going to go into the next question because it kind of relates to this. But Pat underscore Bone 4, does having Kane and Panarin on the same line worsen our defensive problem? I'm going to have to say it definitely doesn't make the defensive problem any better. You know, they're two offensively minded players, but, you know, I've been saying for a while, your best defense is a good offense. So once these two are clicking again and they're able to possess the puck in the offensive zone at a consistent rate, like, I don't see them spending so much time in the D zone. So yeah, like tonight it did not look good, but, you know, I think as we go on here and as the games progress and as, you know, the guys get used to each other, I think it won't be as much of a liability. I'll go into the next one. Anthony Governale 19. How nice is it to officially be able to end Kravtsov conversations? Dude, it is fucking amazing. We've been talking about this for like 2 or 3 years now. I'm happy for Kravtsov. He found a new home. I hope he does well. It's kind of irrelevant for us because he was never an every night guy. So for him to have success somewhere else, so be it. Whatever, we'll take it. Definitely happy to not have that conversation anymore. Lauren Khaleesi, how long will it take you to get a Kane jersey / shirt over under? So I don't want to sound like a hard or whatever, but as of like the last 2 years, I'm kind of over buying a jersey or like a player's t-shirt. I'm more into like the style of the team. Like, I always wear a different Rangers jacket to every game. Like, you know, I'm a big outerwear guy. I kind of love that kind of style. You know, last jersey I bought was a Foxy one because I've said it on here before, but, you know, we're friends from growing up, and I feel like I'll buy a jersey to support a friend. But for me, I've never been like a huge jersey buyer. I'm more of like, this Rangers starter jacket's sick. Like, I'd love to rock that to a game, or this snapback is dope. Like, I'd love to wear that. For me, it's more like the style than the jersey. I think it's cooler just to, you know, kind of dress up for a game. I think that's a lot of fun. The players get to dress up, so the fans should get to rock their swagger too. Let's go into the next one. This is the last one on Instagram from Maddie James 43. Obvious the team has high-end skill, but are they gritty enough to win playoff-style hockey? I think as time goes on, they're going to develop that grit because they're going to realize that you can't win just on skill alone. And that's obviously, you know, a pretty popular saying, right? Like, hard work beats talent when talent fails to work hard. You know, that comes from a lot of different movies, a lot of different sports, but it's just true. You know, we can have all the skill in the world, but if they're not going to work hard, they're not going to win. And if Halak and Igor Shesterkin aren't going to stand on their heads every night, like, it's not going to be a pretty season. So, you know, I do think they will figure it out. They got to learn to work together first, and then, you know, the grit will come. You know, obviously once playoffs happens too, it ramps up a bit. So I'm not too concerned about the compete level. You're playing playoff hockey in New York as a Ranger. If you can't get up for that, then you shouldn't even be in the playoffs to begin with. So that's it for Twitter. That's it for Instagram. Sorry. I'm going to go to the Twitter questions. And these are kind of all over the place because some of it is like quote tweets and some of it's like fucking replies. It's kind of all over the place. And first of all, thank you everybody for asking questions. And I actually, I ran into like 8 or 9 people tonight at the game that stopped me and like said, dude, love the podcast. Like, you know, love the Blue Crew, shout out, whatever. And if you see me at a game or see me in person, like, and you say hi, tell me your name or tell me your handle, because I met like 4 or 5 people tonight that I had no idea who they were, but they said they followed me. And listen, for what it is, half of you guys are like fucking Ranger trolls that have like Zibanejad or Kreider in your name that I don't even know your actual name. So I love to meet the people that listen to me and listen to Cody and listen to us. So next time you see me, or if you want to meet or shoot the shit, like, tell me your name, because I'd love to know you and be your friend and talk to you as a human being, not a fucking Twitter robot. So I'm just going to put that out there. Let's go into the Twitter questions, though, with that being said. Shout out to Cody with that being said. Where is the tweet? Where is the tweet? Let me find it. Okay, so let's start with this. Todd Schaus. What's up, beauty? My guy from Bredonia. Why no Zach Jones being short on the back end? Give him a shot. Can't have Fox playing 28 minutes a night. Couldn't agree more. right now with the way the team's headed, having another skilled small defenseman like Jonesy isn't necessarily what they're looking for. They want to have bigger size and more physical players in the back end. That's why Mikula's getting the ice time and Harper's getting the ice time, because you can't have a ton of small skilled players in the roster. Although I think Jones is so good, and I think he will be an every night successful NHL player at some point in his career. But yeah, I don't know. Right now, the roster is just weird with Lindgren and Miller being out. I don't know if it's a cap situation or what. So I don't have the true answer to that, Shousey, but I would love to see Jonesy back up. This one from Goth Brooks RVA. Oh boy, I forgot about this already. But why the fuck would you pull your goalie with over 2.5 minutes left down just one goal? There was plenty of time to try and get the goal, and instead we lose the faceoff and boom, we're down two. It completely killed any chance at a comeback. Kaner and Bread look good. Give it time. So I could not believe that the goalie was pulled. I actually didn't even realize it till the goal happened. I was who the fuck in their right mind would do that? I think at least win the faceoff and gain possession before you do that. So that was a complete surprise to me. I don't know what was talked about on the bench. I don't know what the post game comments were, but listen, I don't question Gerard Gallant a lot. I know a lot of people do. I think he's a good coach, and I actually love him as a person. I don't know him personally, but everything I see, I love the way he treats the players. But man, I don't know. That was a fucking weird call. And, it's something that's, had the Rangers scored right off the bat. It's like Gerard Gallant's a genius. Let's all be honest. If Gerard Gallant pulls the goalie with 2.5 minutes left, the Rangers score right away. It's like, oh my God, what a fucking great coaching move. But because they lost the faceoff and let up the goal right away, it's like he's a fucking idiot. That's just how it is. It's a hit or miss kind of call. I think had he pulled the goalie on a faceoff with 1:15 left, no one's questioning it. But because there was so much time left, it makes you think what is the thought process there? I'll go into the next one. This is another name. How many a lot is the Twitter name? Someone who I interact with a lot. I don't know who you are, but I know we would get along because I interact with you all the time. And this question is, how many high noons above expected? I tweeted it. It was 4.0. I got the new tequila seltzers. I'm a big tequila guy. I don't love vodka. I do drink beer, but I'm not a vodka person at all. So, I've always loved the high noons, but having tequila made me want them even more. And I tried each flavor, and the strawberry was my favorite. Strawberry was so good. So highly recommend those. Another one, Mika. This is the shit I'm talking about. If you are Mika and how many a lot, and I meet you at a Ranger game, tell me your fucking name, because I'm not going to know you from a name like that and a profile picture that's Igor Shesterkin and Mika Zibanejad, because you're not them. Here's the question. I'm sure you will cover it, but just want to hear honest opinion about how tonight went. Definitely looked a little burnt out at times, I'd say. And I completely agree. Listen, was the energy necessary there in the beginning? It was. Kreider scores that shorthanded goal, but there wasn't so many scoring chances, I thought, in the first period from either side. It wasn't a very back and forth game until the second period when all those goals started to happen. And listen, the team played last night or Wednesday night in Philadelphia, played an overtime game shorthanded. They had 11 forwards and 5Ds. And, sometimes that does have an effect on you. So, I think, it's just part of it. They played back-to-backs twice this week. So that's tough. It's hard on you, mentally and physically when you travel. And I know it's not such a tough travel going to Philadelphia, but it's definitely, weird for the routine. So I think they were burnt out, but it's not too much of a concern for me. A follow-up from Mika. Also, yeah, the only first game on PP together. Do you think it ruined their flow of getting into the game 5-on-5? Would rather see another shooter on PP1 with Kreider in front. Mika, Kane, and Panarin all like to set others up. So this is actually a point I really wanted to make. Adding Kane makes Panarin so much more of a shooting threat. We've been used to watching Artemi Panarin be the setup guy and be the playmaker, but having Patrick Kane out there, I saw it in the first period. Kane's in the slot and finds Panarin on the half wall in a 5-on-5 situation. Panarin takes that one-timer that Cam Talbot just gets with his blocker, and that's a one-timer we haven't seen from Panarin very often. So having Kane on a line with Panarin draws so much attention to Patrick Kane that it creates more opportunity for Artemi Panarin to be a goal scorer. And, typically in the past, we've seen Panarin be the biggest threat in his line, playing with Strome, playing with Kopp, playing with Hunt, whoever he's been on the line with. And everyone's worried about Panarin, that they keep their eye on him and don't want to allow him to make plays, that it's opened up the others. But now we're seeing the opposite, where you have a guy like Patrick Kane on the line, that it allows Panarin to be the open guy. So I think Panarin's going to become, more of a shoot first mentality player playing with a guy like Patrick Kane. And Mika is definitely not a guy who likes to set up others. I think he was just, giving into playing with Patrick Kane a little bit tonight on the power play because everyone wanted to see Kane have success. Nick Todaro, what do you think about Mikula's inability to stay out of the box? Slot me in for Big Ben at D6 come round one. I actually agree. I think Mika has, my friend Kyle Pfeffer, who has the game of tonight, said it perfectly. Nico Mikula is due for a minor penalty a game. That's kind of been, what's going on as of late. It's been a trend that he takes a penalty almost every game. I don't really know what that is. I don't know what it is about him, but it's definitely got to change. He's got to be a little more disciplined, taking interference penalties, stick penalties, whatever it is. Like, it's just more of a discipline thing mentally. Next one from Jacob Roth. Realistically, how far do you see this team going with the team defense they are showing us? The overall defense hasn't been so bad. Listen, I think this team can win the Stanley Cup. I also think they could lose in the first round. That's just how the Eastern Conference is set up this year. Everyone's so good that if you make mistakes, they're going to cost you. I do think the team defense, can be somewhat of a crutch, but if they're scoring 4 or 5 goals a game, it's not going to be so much of a problem because you have Igor Shesterkin that's going to shut the door every now and then or hopefully consistently come playoff time. So I don't think the overall defense is so much of a concern, but, come playoff time, it definitely could cost them. There was the Zaretsky boys back to back. We'll go with Jake first. No reason to panic. NYR family should still be ecstatic. The boys will get healthy and we'll really see what this team is made of. That being said, with 20 games remaining, what do you think the Rangers record will be from now to the end of the season? Wow. That's a really good question. I think we might see a slow start. They got Boston on Saturday. Boston's looked obviously incredible. I don't think they win that game. I could see the Rangers losing like 4 out of the next 5, but then I could see them going on like an 11 game, 12 game heater where they like win 10 out of 12 or, really go on a hot streak. So out of the 20 games, I'm going to say like the Rangers go 10. No, I'm going to say 13, 5 and 2. I'm going to go with that as the record. I think they win more than they lose. I think there's going to be a couple overtime or shootout heartbreakers in between, but I'm saying 13, 5 and 2. And now we got Ethan Zaretsky. Do you think Panarin and Trocheck felt the need to force Kane the puck in his debut? Yes. Couldn't agree more. I think that's something that, when you have a guy with the stature of Patrick Kane come join your team, like you just want to make him happy. And that's not even just about Kane. That's like something that Gerard Gallant has talked about with the kid line. Like whenever Kako or Lafreniere or Hedo play with, a Zibanejad or a Panarin, they always seem to defer to those guys because, they don't want to look selfish or whatever it may be. No one wants to be a selfish player on a team that has this much skill. So I do think that was definitely a factor tonight. How many a lot again? GG says he's going to just let Kane play. Let's him do what he does. I think he might be a little more drunker than me or something to that effect. Bullshit or fact? I think you gotta let Kane play. Like, he's been in the league. He's been around the block for a long time. Sure, he's a coachable guy, but you gotta let him do what he does best, and that's make plays and create. So I don't think Gerard Gallant's going to be too hard on him. I think he's going to let him do what he's done best for his entire career. There might be – I'm getting a lot of Twitter trolls for my tweet. I actually tweeted after the game, and I'll read it word for word. The only team that's going to beat the Rangers is the Rangers. I thought the Rangers just kind of shot themselves in the foot tonight, didn't play a complete 60-minute effort. They were too cute. They didn't think shoot first, and I think that's, what ended up costing them tonight. And, that's going to be something I say a lot on this – podcast for a long time coming is the Rangers beat the Rangers and it's the Rangers versus the Rangers. Cause I think on paper, they're the best team in the NHL. You could say Boston is whatever. I think it's hard to argue all the talent the Rangers have. So I truly do think it is the Rangers versus the Rangers. Let's see. I think I have some DMs on here. So we got one from NY Rocky, my boy, 93. I love Rocky's question. So this is gonna be the last one. I'll end it on this one. I'm aware it was only one game, so don't kill me here. Oh, he knows it already. How many games do you give Kane and Brad before you split them? The forced passes to each other were extremely annoying. They need to stop that. LOL. I fucking love Rocky. He's so funny because when the Rangers are doing well, he's like, oh my God, this is the best team ever. When they suck, he's like, what the fuck? Like, we suck. He's just like very seesaw, I guess would be the word. And Rocky, I'm saying this out of love. Like, you are, a fun guy to follow. I fucking love your stuff. So. I'm saying this with all love, but I also think you bring up a good point. Something I said on SiriusXM Radio earlier this week was if there is any line movement to make, for me, it's putting Tarasenko with Hedo and Lafreniere And it's not splitting up Panarin and Kane, because I do think they will click at some point. But, you know, I think a lot of the season, when Kako has played with Sabanajad and Kreider, like, that line has looked great. And I know it kind of shuffles the rest a little bit and the other three lines don't look as strong. But, you know, a guy like Tarasenko, who I thought played his best game, obviously has 3 points against Philadelphia. He's been a little inconsistent also so far, you know, in the Ranger uniform. But if you throw him with Hedl and Lafreniere, like, that could be such a good balance for those two young kids also, you know, while giving Kako that extra ice time and more reps with the big boys and Mika and Kreider. I still don't see Kane and Panarin being separated. Like, you know, it's so obvious this off-ice bromance, like, can contribute to on-ice success. And it's been one game. Like, you know, they're going to talk about it. They're going to watch film. They're going to realize when they should shoot, when they should pass. Like, I'm not so worried about that. But if there was one line move to change, for me, it's Tarasenko and Kako switching. I think that's really it for questions. As far as the rest of this year goes, like, I am so excited. Like, even if the Rangers didn't play their best tonight, every time Patrick Kane had the puck on his stick, like, the Garden was just like, oh, what's going to happen? Like, it was so fun. Like, everyone knew there was something that could be exciting, like, any given second. And, you know, that's something I truly just can't wait to watch the rest of the year. And Cody and I are going to put out an episode, I think, on Monday. So I'm going to save the rest for that episode. But I appreciate everyone for asking the questions. I appreciate everyone who said what's up to me tonight at the Garden. It's always fun meeting listeners, and it's always fun interacting with you guys. Seriously, like, it means the world to me. You know, 2 years ago, I was doing this show by myself, getting, like, you know, 50 people to listen. Now we're pretty north. It's north of 1,000 people that listen to every episode. So it's really humbling for us, and you know, really makes all the effort that we put in worth it, knowing that there's a lot of you that are listening. And, you know, even if you think we're fucking stupid, or if you respect our opinion, like, or if you're just listening to us to take an hour out of your day to laugh or smile, or, like I said, like, even just think we're morons and you can do a better job, I appreciate that. Because, you know, for me, like, there's so many days where I just love to listen to hockey content and I can't find it. So, you know, I like I said before, I want to make hockey as cool as I can. And hopefully, you know, you guys enjoy listening to me and listening to Cody and listening to what we say. Like, you know, I know I played in the college level. I never played pro, but, you know, I think my experience definitely helps my opinion a little bit, but, like, by no means do I think I'm an expert. I kind of just say it as I see it. But, you know, I do just want to express how appreciative Cody and I are of all the people that listen. And we can't wait to enjoy this ride with you guys the rest of the season, because we both do feel that this could be the year where, you know, we see the Stanley Cup come to New York City. So, very exciting stuff. I'm not too concerned about this team. Boston on Saturday is going to be a huge measuring stick. I actually can't watch it. I'm playing in a charity tournament at Chelsea Pier. So I'll be checking Twitter every now and then, but I won't be watching the game. So please tweet at me any good clips, any good highlights, anything. You know, I do want to see as much as I can from that game, so then we'll be able to watch it. But with that being said, I'm going to send it off with a Cody LFGR, and I love you guys. And, you know, thank you.